hearts tremble, and all the cities join in one song. For all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and we will see that God is moving. A time of jubilee is coming, bringing it all return to Jesus.
Time! offer up a praise to the Lord right now from our own hearts today. Just a moment of thanksgiving to the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful grace in our lives. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We bless you. We acknowledge you, Lord, as our source today. Our healer, our helper, our deliverer, our peace giver today. Our Savior, our soon coming King. You are the one we praise today, Lord. You are the object of our affection. We owe every blessing to you today, O Lord. You're the giver of every good gift. Every perfect gift comes from you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. We love you this morning. Let's take a few moments right now, if we can, to invite our pastors and our prayer teams to come and stand before us across the front, please, and offer the opportunity for us to pray together, to bring our needs to the Lord this morning. And as we continue just to worship the Lord a little longer, if you have needs in your life today, if you need a touch from the Lord today, some situation you'd like to have agreement in prayer about today, just step out while the prayer teams are here and come and let us trust the Lord together to meet us at our point of need this morning. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes.
By your stripes, I am healed. With your touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm, you are peace, and your love.
Sitting in my seat, praying and standing up, and I felt the Holy Spirit just really pressing on me. I didn't want to come up here and do this. I don't really like doing this stuff, but the Bible says if you're lukewarm, God will spit you out of his mouth. How many of you are lukewarm? I know I've been lukewarm before. I'm trying not to be. And I feel for some reason today, we need to go out with the fire of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus came back today, this morning, right now, would you be ready? Would you? I ask myself that question. We need to be ready. This isn't just a show. This isn't just a meeting. The church isn't just this building. It's all of us with the Holy Spirit going out and changing the world like Jesus did.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to just say a quick prayer.
Go ahead.
Jesus, thank you so much for what you did.
Yes, Lord.
For how badly you were beaten, bruised.
Yes, yes.
It says you were beaten beyond recognition.
Yes.
On the cross for us because you loved us.
Thank you, Lord.
The least we can do for you is give our lives and do what you ask,
yes.
Whatever it is. Help us to not worry about what people think because that's stupid. Mm. Help us to worry about what you think because you are the creator and the father of everything. And you authored our life and you put us where we're supposed to be for a reason, Father. Give us the strength to do what's set before us and what we're supposed to do.
Yes, Lord.
Help us not be cowards. Help us be bold like lions, like the lion of Judah.
Yes.
Not to waste our life. Help it be full for you.
Yes.
I challenge you guys to do whatever that
is. Yes, yes,
life.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. 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 That was the message from Jesus to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation. I hold this against you. You're neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. Jesus was not saying he wants us cold spiritually in that sense. He's saying, I don't want you to be mediocre. I want you to be strong in your devotion to me. And we pray, Lord, fill us with the fire of your spirit today. Amen. Lord, fill us afresh and anew with the fire of your spirit. Help us, Lord, to live for you with passion. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen, congregation. Help us, Lord, to walk in the fullness of obedience and in fullness of fellowship with you, Lord. And may we be everything you've called us to be through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let us acknowledge today here in the house that the Lord is working continually by the power of his word and his spirit to draw us closer to him. Aren't you glad for a God who wants you to be close to him? I'm so glad for that today. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you right now. Would you take a moment to turn around and just greet those around you and welcome everybody to church today, please. God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's enough visiting in the house of the Lord. Please be seated. We have our security team available in full force today. But God bless you. Thank you for being here today. We do want to send out a special welcome to those that might be visiting today for the first time. If that's you, we want you to know that we are thrilled that you are here. And we want to get to know you. And so we want to ask you to help us to do that by taking a moment to reach out in front of you and grab the connect card that's on the back of the seat that's in front of you. Fill that out if you would. Please swing by our welcome center right after service, which is located in the lobby, and turn that in. And we have a gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. And that will help us to connect with you, get to know you better, because we want to have you back and become part of our church family. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. We've got several announcements today. I'll try to move through them quickly. First of all, for all the ladies in the house, we want to let you know that you are invited to their upcoming Women's Super Thursday event. That's actually scheduled for this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. next door in the gym. This is going to be a laid-back and fun time of food and fellowship. They are planning to serve soup and sandwiches. This event is free, so the price is right. And you can sign up through our Church Realm app. And if you got any questions, please see Pastor Deanna. I want to remind all the veterans in the house about our upcoming Veterans Celebration. That's going to be on Thursday, January the 26th at 6:30 p.m. next door in the church gym. And it's going to be a time of food and fellowship. The event is free. And we want to clarify that veterans, that we want to invite your spouse as well. Bring them, bring your family. And also if you have a another friend that's a veteran that is currently not attached to another church and you've been looking for a way to minister to them and bring them to church, bring them on out to this event. This would be a good outreach event as well. See Pastor Peter if you got any questions about that. For the 50-plusers, there is a 50-plus seniors outing on Saturday, January the 28th. They're first of all going to be going over to Veet's Buffet for lunch. Any Veet's fans in the restaurant today? Yep, I know you got one right here. And they're going to be having lunch. And then after that, they're going to go over to the Stained Glass Theater where they're going to be watching the play Casting Swine Before Pearls. And our very own Steve Feldman will be starring in that play. And you can register in Realm for that event as well, or call the church office. Several quick youth announcements. All right. There will be an informational and sign-up meeting for the youth Yucatan Missions Trip on January the 29th at 3 o'clock in room 301. The Missions Trip is scheduled for later this summer, July the 17th through the 24th. First Youth is also having a game night on February the 3rd at 7 p.m. There will be snacks and all kinds of games. And then finally for the youth, a reminder to you and your parents that the fine arts registration fees and artwork, that they are all due on February the 5th. And then finally, on February the 10th at 6 o'clock, we have scheduled a Valentine's banquet. And so we're looking forward to that. But we have scheduled saxophonist Greg Wynn. And the event is for everyone. This includes all ages and those that are single or married. And that evening, we will also be serving a very nice, delicious catered meal. The cost is $17 per person. You can sign up for that on Realm or see Pastor Deanna. All right, that's it. In a way of announcements, so if you would, if I didn't put you to sleep, would you stand with us once again as our worship team comes?
Take my hands and let
Amen. You may be seated, everyone. Thank you, Heidi, and thank you, worship team, this morning. Take My Life and Let It Be, one of my favorite hymns from one of my all-time favorite writers, Francis Ridley Havergal. If you're looking for a good devotional, apart from your Bible reading, how many of you are reading your Bible? Say amen. You know, this is the new year, and I always encourage you at the new year to be a Bible reader, and I always challenge you to read the Bible through every year. And I want to remind you again this morning that if you'll read about 3.5 chapters a day in the Bible, you can. That's about 10 or 15 minutes even for, you know, a slow reader, 10 or 15 minutes. And if you'll read about 3.5 chapters a day, you can read the Bible through in a year. You say, well, we're already midway through January. Well then, why don't you start today reading 4 chapters a day through the Bible, and let's plan to read the Bible through together this year. How about that? Come on, how about that? Can you challenge yourself today? And my encouragement would be start at the Gospel of Matthew, read the New Testament through first. And when you're finished with the New Testament, go to the Old Testament and begin reading, and the Bible will be a blessing to your life. Amen. And then if you're looking for a good devotional on top of your Bible reading, look back to Francis Ridley Havergal, who wrote a series of devotionals in the mid-1800s, powerful devotionals about serving Jesus as your Lord and King. You will not be disappointed, and I strongly advise that. And what a beautiful hymn this morning of dedication to the Lord. Take my life and let it be yours, Lord. How many of you today would testify you belong to the Lord? Say amen. Yes, thank you so much, Lord, for that. Let's look to the Word of God together in Psalm 29, a Psalm of David. And David writes these words. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in His temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. And everyone said amen. There are many verbal expressions, vocal expressions, that are part of the worship experience in a church service. Expressions that hopefully begin way down deep within us and make their way up out of us, and eventually they make their way out of our mouths as we make an expression of verbal praise to the Lord. Things like hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, expressions of praise to the Lord. Church services should be filled with the sounds of voices. Singing and worshiping and praying and praising and preaching and prophesying and amening. Yes. And Spirit-filled churches should lead the way in those sounds of declaration and praise, because John chapter 16, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He will glorify Me. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus becomes brighter and more glorious to us as Christian believers, so that sometimes we just can't help letting out a squeal of praise to the Lord. Could you say amen? And the Bible teaches us to be expressive in our worship. Psalm 26 says, I will publish his works with a voice of thanksgiving. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 51, my mouth will speak forth thy praise. Psalm 119, my lips shall utter praise. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Psalm 33, sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully. Everybody, let's give a hand clap to all of our musicians who have played skillfully today. Play skillfully, says the psalmist, and shout for joy. Isaiah 12, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of God, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And Psalm 26, verse 12 says, I will praise the Lord in the great assembly. And I just happen to think that he means the assembly of God. First assembly of God. I warn every nervous Christian here this morning that this is the quietest world you will ever live in. In hell, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in heaven, there will be singing and shouting and praising the Lord. So let's get used to it. And the house of God should be filled with the sounds of worship. This morning, as we take a look at Psalm 29, a psalm of David, a psalm of praise, we find in Psalm 29 a common declaration, a common expression of praise. It is the expression of glory, glory. In his temple, David says, in his temple, everybody is shouting glory. So I want to look this morning at Psalm 29, and I want us to encourage ourselves this morning to hear the voice of the Lord, to look at the glory of our God, and then to ascribe to him and to give him the praise and the worship he is worthy of today. We begin this morning with this instruction from David the psalmist, ascribe the glory to the Lord. Ascribe the glory to the Lord. Acknowledge and ascribe. Verse 1 says, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. What does it mean to ascribe something to the Lord? It means to mark that out as the characteristic of the Lord. To say of the Lord, to tell others. This is who the Lord is. Admit it, confess it, publish it. The Lord is strong and the Lord is glorious. Those are the two declarations we are to ascribe to the Lord. The Lord is strong and the Lord is glorious. And David says even the mighty ones should ascribe that glory and strength to the Lord. In other words, let's not ever get so strong and so big and so great and so proud that we think somehow we deserve the glory for ourselves. How many of you know this morning that without the Lord, we can do nothing? Say amen. And it's the Lord who is our source. He is our God. He is our Lord. And even the mightiest among us. Oh, all of the praise and the glory to the Lord. He is far greater than anybody or anything we could ever possibly imagine. Ascribe the strength and the glory to the Lord. Our God is all strong. There's nothing too hard for him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he is not limited by our thought processes. God is a mighty God. Would you say amen? And not only is he strong, but the Lord is glorious. He is wonderful. What he has accomplished for us and what he has done in the world around us is so amazing, so impressive, so awesome, so glorious that we look at the Lord and we stand in awe of the awesome God that we serve. Our God is great and glorious. Acknowledge and ascribe. Ascribe to the Lord. And approach and adore and applaud the Lord. Verse 2 says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So once we have concluded with our declaration to everybody else around us that the Lord is good and the Lord is great and the Lord is strong and the Lord is glorious, then we ought to direct our attention to the Lord and give worship and praise to the Lord and say, Lord, I've told everybody else, now I'm going to tell you. I'm going to direct my attention to you, Lord. Sometimes our audience involves the people around us. Sometimes our audience changes and we direct our attention to the Lord himself. What a privilege it is this morning for me to preach and to teach and to declare the word of God to a congregation of believers such as you. What a joy for me to be able to tell you what the Lord has done in my own life and in the lives of people I know. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to stand here with an audience to listen to me talk about God, but there are times when I have to change my audience and ignore you for just a little bit and turn my attention to the Lord and give my focus to God and say, Lord, what I've been telling others about, I want to thank you for today. You are my God. You are my Lord. You have been strong in my life. You have been good to me, Lord, and your presence and your work is glorious in my life. I love you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord. As we ascribe the glory to the Lord and as we worship the Lord, suddenly our own faith begins to come to life and the faith of those around us begin to come to life as we realize that the God of all creation is looking down upon us. He is our God who is working in our midst and he is available to us today. Thank God we serve a God who is close to us and we give him the praise and the glory. Ascribe the glory to the Lord. Secondly, this morning in Psalm 29, let's analyze the glorious features of our God that David refers to in this psalm. And we find four reasons to glorify the Lord today in Psalm 29. First of all, we recognize that God's supreme seat is glorious. His throne, his dwelling place. His station, who God is and where God dwells. We move down a little early in this study to verse number 10 to hear the psalmist declare that the Lord sits enthroned above over the flood, and the Lord is enthroned as king forever. Now we're going to find out in this psalm in just a little while that the Lord himself is the creator of the flood. That his voice brings about a flood in the world around about us. His voice is powerful, like a flood moving through the land. But David says the Lord sits enthroned above the flood. I want to say two things to you this morning about the Lord who sits enthroned above the flood. First of all, has anybody in the room ever had your basement flooded here in Jefferson City? Let me see your hand. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Half of Jefferson City has experienced the flood, right? When I first became pastor of this church in 1993, the summer of 1993, just a few weeks after I became the pastor, and I was living in Holt Summit at the time, the flood, the great flood of 1993 came to Jefferson City. Does anybody remember the flood of Jefferson City in 1993? I remember having to drive from Holt Summit up to Columbia, over from Columbia to somewhere up there, Highway 5, down through Tipton, down through California, and up Highway 50 into Jefferson City. It took me like an hour and 10 minutes to get to Jefferson City, and I was about 10 minutes away. The flood changed everything. The flood of 93 washed out the highways. And eventually I had to camp out at somebody else, at one of my deacon's houses here in Jefferson City for a season of time because the flood is so powerful that it can rip things out, tear things away, move out any obstructions, and the flood is powerful. And from Psalm 29, I want to declare that our God is the God who can send a flood to accomplish any one of his purposes. Do you know that the forces of nature are at the fingertips of Almighty God? Do you know this morning that our God is the creator of nature? He is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of this physical world in which we live. The stormy winds do his bidding. The Lord is able to send a storm to chase old Jonah out into the ocean to rein him in. The Lord is able to send powerful forces around us to accomplish his purpose and his mission. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you needed a miraculous intervention of God? Anybody here today? Sometimes we find ourselves in places where we need God to move so powerfully that he just removes roadblocks. He removes mountains that stand in our way. He removes those things that are hindering us from being who he wants us to be. And the Lord is able to send the stormy forces of his power to accomplish every purpose that we need to have accomplished in our life. Our God is a mighty God. And as his children, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to his power that works within us. And he's able to accomplish mighty things through the stormy forces at his disposal. Sometimes God sends the storms. But sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood. Have you ever been there? And we need a God who reigns and enthroned and rules over the flood when the floods of this life come in to attack us and the enemy comes in like a flood. And good news today, God is the God who can take control of any and every storm that we face in this life. He is able, as Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee, to rise up and with a word speak to the storm and say, "Peace, be still." And the storm is brought to a hush. And we live in the peace of God and the provision and the protection and the safety of our God. Our God is able to send the storm and our God is able to stop the storm. He is a mighty God. I encourage you this morning, if you're dealing with forces in your life that feel like a flood that just is about to overwhelm you, I encourage you to look to the Lord and trust the Lord and believe that there's nothing too hard for God and trust that God is able to come into your life and do whatever you need to have accomplished so that you might live in his perfect peace and in his perfect will. Sometimes, friends, he allows the storm to rage for a season of time. But thank God, even when the storm is raging around us, we can experience the peace of God that passes understanding within us. The Lord's supreme seat. He is the Lord who sits enthroned over the flood. The second note about God's glory here is God's heavenly holiness. Verse 2 refers to the splendor of his holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The presence of God, the uniqueness of God, the shininess of God, the impressiveness of God, the glory of God. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. When we think about the word holiness as it is applied to God, when we say that God is a holy God, we mean far more than just to suggest that God is not marked by sin. Obviously, that is the case. But when we talk about the holiness of God, we're talking about the uniqueness of God, the separateness of God, the attribute of God that causes him to be apart from everything and everybody else. He is the creator and we are the creation. Every human, everybody in this room, everything we see with our eyes, these are created things. God is the uncreated one. He is the creator of the universe. And he is the one to look at reminds us that God Almighty is the author of everything we see and the author of life around about us. God's heavenly holiness, God's supreme seat. Thirdly, we worship God because of his victorious voice. God's victorious voice is glorious. Listen to what the psalm says about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful and majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars and breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. David writes about this strong, mighty, powerful, even violent voice of the Lord that speaks forth into the world around about us. This voice of God, David speaks about, is moving out into the world around about us. As we think about Psalm 29, we hear the psalmist say that the voice of the Lord has stretched out to the oceans, to the mighty waters out there. And then the voice of the Lord has stretched forth to Lebanon and Syria and up in the north. And then the voice of the Lord makes its way down to the south, to the deserts of Kadesh. And all of this territory is impacted and affected by the powerful voice of the Lord. Friends, listen to me. God is God of the whole wide world. His voice is moving. His voice is speaking. His power is working. And David says God's voice accomplishes what it needs to accomplish. It is a powerful word. When I think about the voice of the Lord, I have to be grateful that our God is a communicator. He is a speaker. We could be living in a world where we never heard from God, where God could have created us and spun the world into existence, as the deists believe, and just left us alone so that we never know anything about the Lord. But thank God, our God is a God who is speaking into the world around about us. His voice is powerful. God's voice has come to us in the form of his written word, so that we have his word before us. His voice comes through the work of his Holy Spirit into our lives. God is speaking and God is moving. What does the voice of the Lord sound like? Let's look at what God's voice in the scriptures looks like. God's voice is a creating voice. Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God's voice is a communicating voice. Exodus 20, and God spoke all these words, and God began to reveal his plan and his purposes to the human race. God's voice is a compelling voice. Hebrews 3 says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Listen, when God speaks, he intends for us to respond to his voice. God's voice is a counseling voice. Isaiah 30, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We see that God's voice now can be universal, it can be big and loud, and God's voice can come right down to where we are to speak right into our individual lives. God's voice is a calming voice at times. 1 Kings 19, after the earthquake came a fire. And after the fire, to Elijah came a gentle whisper, a still small voice speaking into his life, a calming voice. God's voice is a curing voice. Matthew 8, just say the word, said the centurion, and my servant will be healed. If the Lord will speak, I will be changed. God's voice is a calling and comforting voice. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And in case you're here this morning and you think somehow God has forgotten about you, I want you to know that God's voice is being directed to you this morning as well, speaking to you and inviting you into the presence of God and into the grace of God. God has not left any person on this earth unincluded in the gospel call. He calls for us to come to him. If we are burdened, if we are heavy laden, if we are hurting, if we are suffering, the voice of the Lord calls us and comforts us. Come to me, says Jesus. One of these days, the voice of the Lord will be, you get this, will be a coffin conquering voice. As Jesus declared this in John 5, 25, a time is coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all who hear will live. How many of you have already heard the voice of Jesus and you are alive through Jesus Christ today? Say amen. We have been made alive. We've been brought from spiritual death into spiritual life. But good news, even beyond this physical life, if your body is buried down in the graveyard somewhere, one of these days the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those who have been buried in the ground, their bodies are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Our God is conqueror even over death. Amen? And lastly, our God is a come up hearing, has a come up hearing voice. He said to John in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the voice I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. And one day that voice is going to call us home to heaven. Aren't you looking forward to that? Come up here. That may happen at the hour of your death, because Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. When you, as a child of God, as a born again believer, make your way through that dark doorway of death, thank God this morning, Jesus already has a place prepared for you, and he will say to your spirit, come up here. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I remember a time 14 years ago when I was caught up to the third heaven, and I'm looking forward to the day when I'll be caught up into the presence of the Lord, aren't you? That may happen at the hour of your death. That may happen when the Lord Jesus comes and raptures his church home to be with him in heaven, as the Lord reaches down and catches away his church to bring us into his presence in heaven. That'll be the work of the voice of the Lord Jesus. His voice is powerful. I want you to know the voice of the Lord can change your life. I know the psalm, you know, sounds a little distant here, the, you know, breaking the cedars of Lebanon and all of those kinds of things. But I want you to know that God Almighty, here is the simplicity of the message today. God Almighty is speaking into this world and speaking out to the human race. He loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not have to perish, but could have eternal life. And the message is coming forth from God to us day by day and moment by moment. Come on in, come on in, come on in. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink of the waters of life. God is speaking to us and drawing us to himself. God's voice. God's victorious voice is glorious. What makes it so glorious to me is the awareness that he is speaking to me. Yeah? Have you answered the Lord's call in your own life? Have you sensed the work of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus? God's victorious voice, glory. God is a communicator. He is speaking. We analyze his glory, the glory of God, his supreme seat, his heavenly holiness, his victorious voice, and lastly, God's provision of power and peace to people is glorious. The psalm closes with this word. In case all of this was too distant for the reader or the singer to understand, David closes the psalm with this word in verse 11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And I have to say to you this morning, the most glorious thing to me, I remember a sermon many years ago preached by Dr. E.V. Hill, one of the great preachers of the last century here in America. Dr. E.V. Hill preached a sermon years ago entitled, When Was God at His Best? And as Dr. Hill preached through that message, he preached about the creation. When was God at his best? It must have been at creation when he created the heavens and the earth. And he meanders about the creation story for a little bit. And then he says, no, I don't think so. And he moves on to the next point in history and says, maybe it was at the exodus of Israel from Egypt, when God divided the Red Sea and brought his people through the Red Sea on dry ground and drowned Pharaoh's army. God brought a great deliverance for his people. Surely God was at his best back then. And he meanders about that thought for a little while, and then he says, no, I don't think so. And he moves forward a little further and a little further and a little further. I don't have time to preach the whole sermon to you. He finally moves to the New Testament. He says God must have been at his best in the life and ministry of Jesus, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, raising the dead. Watch Jesus as he moves about in his compassionate ministry. God must have been at his best back then. And oh, he hams it up and plays it up only to say, no, I don't think it was there. He moves to the cross. He says God was at his best when Jesus was there, the Son of God, hanging between heaven and earth on an old rugged cross, paying the price for our sins, dying in our place, and bearing our sicknesses, our diseases, our shame and our disgrace. God must have been at his best as Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, and the audience is saying, yes, that must be it. Only to hear Dr. E.V. Hill say, no. He said, no, 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 he said, we've seen tracks lead into the graveyard before. We've got to have somebody whose tracks are on the other side of the grave. And he moves to that resurrection morning, says God must have been at his best when he raised Jesus from the dead. Here is Jesus, conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. That was God at his best. No, Dr. Hill says. Finally, he comes, and we're about expended in our thought process by now. He says, God must have been at his best. Let's move over a little beyond the resurrection, and let's move to that 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, and let's watch Jesus as he restores Peter to the ministry. Peter, who failed, who denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. There was God at his best, saving Peter and restoring him to the ministry. By this time, we're winding down to the altar call, we think. And Dr. Hill says, no, I don't believe that was it. I think we have to take one more step and go just a little bit further. Dr. E.V. Hill said, God was at his best. Down on a little country gravel road in the state of Texas. I forget the year that he said when a little boy, 11 years old, bowed on his knee, cried out, save me, Lord Jesus. He said, God was at his best when he saved me. By now the congregation is shouting. I have to say to you this morning, the most glorious thing about God in my life is not that he saved you. Some of you, I just even wonder why he saved you. The most glorious thing about God to me is that he saved me. God's provision of power and peace to his people is glorious. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. I have to think that's the Old Testament rendition, but I have to think as we look at the New Testament fullness, we understand that peace that comes from God to be the peace that comes to us through a relationship with God, our sins washed away. It's the Romans chapter 5 kind of peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We who were broken, we who were sinners, we who were far off from God, we who didn't deserve any grace or any mercy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and brought us into a relationship of peace with God so that we might live in the favor of God and that we might expect the future that God has for his beloved children. God gives peace to his people. And God gives strength to his people. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us to live for him. He helps us to walk every day. He helps us. He infuses spiritual breath into our beings. And he gives us courage to march forward into the face of this life. God has changed us. And because of that, his provision to us is glorious. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Are you here? When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around and set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and the honor and the praise. You want to know why God is glorious to me? God is glorious not just because he is enthroned above the flood, not just because of his powerful voice, not just because of his holiness. God is glorious to me because he has saved me and brought me into his family. I could listen, I could praise him forever, and I'm gonna. If you'll excuse my vernacular there, I'm gonna. Aren't you? We analyze the glory of God and we come up with the same answer over and over and over and over again. He is a great and a glorious God. Yes, yes, and amen. Ascribe the glory, analyze the glory, and by all means, announce the glory in the house of God. Let's rally the people of God. Verse 9 says, in his temple. This is a psalm of David that we have before us today. The temple at Jerusalem proper did not exist until David was dead. His son Solomon built the house for the Lord, but whatever this temple is David is talking about, this is the gathering place of the people of God, where they're coming together in the assembly to worship the Lord, rally the people of God, and then raise the praise to God. In his temple, all cry, glory, glory. What a great God. What a good God. What a glorious God. Worthy to be praised. And as we're gathered here in the house of God today, I hope that some of you have been impacted by the greatness and the glory of our God. I hope your lives have been changed by his voice speaking. Amen. I hope that you have been changed by the reality that God is the God who comes in the midst of your difficult times and manages the floods in your life. Are you here today and God has helped you through some stormy seasons? Oh, thank you, Lord. And so our Lord deserves the praise. We close this morning with five simple conclusions to the words of Psalm 29, and they are these. Stand together, and I'll give them to you quickly. Here they are. Number one, let the word of God speak powerfully into your life. Are you here today? And if you are here this morning and you have never received Jesus into your life, I want to say this to you today. If you have never received Jesus into your life, God is calling you. His voice is speaking. God is calling you not only through the invitations of Scripture, but through the work of the Holy Spirit. And look at me, everybody. If you're here today and you've never become a follower of Jesus, God is calling you through this preacher. As I declare the gospel to you today, the good news that whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, there is sufficient grace and love and mercy in the plan of God through Jesus to wash away your past and to give you a brand new future. Huh? Doesn't matter what the devil has told you. Doesn't matter what other people have told you. Doesn't matter the kind of curses that people have laid upon your life. I want you to know that the word of God and the work of God in your life can break every curse and bring you into the freedom and liberty and joy of the children of God. And in Jesus Christ, you can begin a brand new life today. So let the word of God speak powerfully into your life today. As we heard just a few moments ago, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts, but open your heart wide and say yes to the Lord and receive his grace. Say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for me on the cross. You rose again from the dead. And Jesus, I acknowledge you are alive today and you are Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, into my life. Forgive me, wash away all my sins. Change my life and give me a brand new life in your plan, your purpose. As you call upon the Lord Jesus today, he will hear your voice. He will save you. He'll save you from your sins. He'll save you from the punishment that your sins deserve. And he'll give you the gift of eternal life. Let the word of God speak powerfully into your life. Number two, trust the Lord when you're flooded by the storms of life. Anybody here flooded right now in your life? Just say to the Lord, Lord, I trust you. You sit enthroned above the flood today. I trust you with my life, with my situation. Number three, tell others what the Lord has done in your life, what he is doing, and what you're expecting him to do. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Would you look at somebody next to you right now and say, the Lord is strong. Come on, say it out loud. The Lord is strong. Now say, the Lord is glorious. Oh, tell others what the Lord has done, what he is doing, and what you expect him to do. Number four, boast and brag on the Lord regularly. He is strong and glorious. And number five, when the people of God are gathered, add your voice and shout glory. Now, let's try it together. Glory! Let's shout glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, yes. He is worthy of the praise and the glory of our lives today. I want to call the prayer teams forward again this morning, the pastors and the prayer teams. We're going to start, look at me, everybody. We're going to start bringing up our prayer teams in the middle of service, like we did this morning in both services, because we found people don't hang around after service for prayer. And in both services today, people want to come during the worship time for prayer. We're going to do that. But we call them again forward this morning to allow anybody in the house right now who wants to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior to make your way with perhaps other believers who want to pause for prayer at the conclusion of the service. We invite believers who want to pray together and want us to agree with you to come. And anybody here today who has not received Jesus as your Savior, but you'd like to start a brand new life as a follower of Jesus today, we invite you to come. I promise you, if you'll choose Jesus and follow him, you will never be sorry. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never face troubles and trials, but you'll realize Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to us. And everybody who's experienced that says amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing today, Lord. In Jesus' name.